Good afternoon, class. We're here again with another teaching on the spirit of honor. I'm going to get into a brief word of prayer, and we'll get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you for each and every student, and that they receive everything they need out of this school, Lord God, Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We thank you for the president, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., the visionary to Ever Increasing Word Training Center, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that's on his life. And I trust, Lord God, that this class will help enable each and every student to walk in honor, Lord God, and to treat their men and women of God with respect and honor. Father, as always, if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, Lord God, I'll fall flat on my face. So I'm leaning and relying completely and totally upon him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, class. In today's lesson, we're going to take what appears to be somewhat of a turn. One of the things I was asked to do in teaching this class was to teach a few lessons on the biggest adversary to the spirit of honor, which is the spirit of pride. And I'm going to be teaching these next couple of classes on the spirit of pride in a little different way, and we're going to see how pride is an adversary of honor. And one of the things I want to point out too is that when you know the things that cause honor not to come, you know, sometimes it's easier to know how to walk in something when you know things that hinder you from walking in the honor that God wants you to walk in. But let me start off by reading some excerpts from the book. The book that I'm going to be teaching from is a book called Overcoming Pride, and the author's name is Gramelia McDonald. You don't have to purchase the book or anything, but you just take good notes, and everything that I'll be talking about in the next couple of class sessions is coming from that book. All right, we're going to, now we're talking about the spirit of pride here. Like I said, we're taking a turn, and it's an adversary of the spirit of honor. The biggest adversary to the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride, which takes its root in what the author calls, and in the Bible, is called the spirit of Leviathan. Now, Leviathan is a word that's actually found in several places in the Bible. In the book of Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 1, I'm going to read that. You can turn with me in your Bibles if you want to. It says in Isaiah 27 and verse 1, "In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that's in the sea." So here it's talking about pride as being the spirit of Leviathan, and it equilibrates it being a serpent, a corked serpent that's in the sea. And let me give you some definitions of Leviathan. Leviathan, God describes to Job, and also it's going to be found in the book of Job, and we'll get to that in a minute. He describes to Job a sea monster looking creature called Leviathan to reveal to Job's problem, which was pride. This is a strong, evil spirit named Leviathan. Leviathan is an evil demonic spirit, or the evil demonic spirit of pride. A lot of the excerpts about Leviathan is actually found in the book of Job chapter 41. Leviathan, this is the Strong's definition of what Leviathan is. It's a withered animal or serpent, a large sea monster. The context suggests some kind of aquatic sea animal. And this sea animal, it twists and it crawls around. And basically, one of the things I want to point out too is that Leviathan, let's just call it pride, what it is, it's very deceptive. It's a very deceptive spirit, and it's something that we have to learn how to recognize and overcome. The nations of the world are consumed by the dragon of the sea looking monster. This sea monster is known as and represents the spirit of pride. The evil demonic spirit of pride manipulates and controls the masses of the world through the spirit of pride. Okay, in Job chapter 41 and verse 34, it says, "He beholded all high things." It's talking about pride and talking about that spirit of Leviathan. It says, "He beholded all things. He is the king over all the children of pride. Over all the beasts, he is the proudest. He reigns supreme over the pride of the earth." Another way of stating this is Leviathan looks down over all who are haughty. He is the king and ruler over all those who are proud and have a proud look. Leviathan is synonymous with the spirit of pride. So when you say pride, you're really talking about that the spirit that's influencing pride is that spirit of Leviathan. Many people fall prey to Satan's temptations and get trapped into the sin of pride, which in most cases render them incapable of getting back up and hinder them from walking in the spirit of honor, because the spirit of pride is so deeply rooted in their hearts. Leviathan, like a serpent, twists himself around a person's heart or their soul. And by doing so, it causes that person to become callous and causes them not to walk in honor. If you could imagine something gripping you like a snake or a slithering serpent, gripping your heart and keeping you from one of the synonyms of pride is hard-heartedness. A person who's full of pride, they're stiff-necked and hard-heartedness. All of those things are attributes of pride. And when pride comes into a person's life, it's hard for them to receive from God. Okay, let me move on. Pride will disguise itself in many forms. It will manifest itself and hide behind these forms so you can't recognize its hold on you. A lot of people who operate in pride aren't really even aware of the fact that pride is a part of their life. And some of these areas where pride will hide behind are things, the way pride will be manifested is, number one, anger, arrogance, contention, disobedience, independent spirit, a lying spirit, witchcraft, person who operates or thinks they're a perfectionist, or perfectionism, rebellion, vanity, divination, rejection, bitterness, malice, envy, strife, hardness of heart, an overinflated ego. People who have overinflated egos on themselves think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. And the Bible says that we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, because God has given everyone the measure of faith, and not to have an overinflated ego. But a person with pride has an overinflated ego. Jealousy is another characteristic of pride. All of these areas and attributes manifest pride, and pride hides behind all of this. So you don't really recognize that you're operating in pride, but you are. All right, let me move on. The opposite of pride is humility, godly humility. And Jesus is the best example of a person operating in godly humility. Jesus was the ultimate example of true godly humility. He always acknowledged and honored the Father. He stated, "I only do what my Father do." In other words, if you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father, because I just mimic what the Father does. Humility doesn't seek its own. Humility walks in submission. Humility depends and relies upon God for everything. A person who's humble or have a humble spirit, they get their trust and their reliance from God. Let me move on. All right. Let me just share a few things about Jesus and his humility. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself." Now that's that key word. Jesus humbled himself. He emptied himself, and he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, because of him doing that, it said God highly exalted him. And when a person is highly exalted, they're honored. God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. God honored Jesus because he humbled himself, and he wasn't influenced by the spirit of pride. And as we know, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those who walk in humility will be exalted, but those that walk in pride will be cast down or abased. Okay? Pride, according to Proverbs 16 and 18, it says, "Pride goeth before destruction as a haughty spirit before the fall." The Message Bible says, Proverbs 16 and 18, it says, "First pride, then crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall." Pride always go before the fall. When a person who walks in pride, they're destined to be abased, destined where they get to a position where now the enemy has control of them and they're not operating like they supposed to as a child of God, because pride is getting in their way. All right, let me move on. It says here, pride, this is a definition of pride. Pride is an unreasonable or unjustifiable sense of one's self-worth or position. Living for self or having a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem. A person who has they're just full of themselves. They have an excessive self-esteem. Considering oneself excessively dignified, you know, just I'm better than everybody. One who depends on his own abilities. In other words, there is one thing to be self-confident, but it's another thing to be pridefully self-confident, where you have one who depends on his own abilities and knowledge. A person who lives independently from God and others. A person who's operating in pride doesn't hear from God like they should, and they don't acknowledge God. They may acknowledge him, but a lot of times it's more about them than anybody else. All right. And I stated this earlier in Romans 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul says, not to think of ourselves more highly. It says, "For I say unto thee, through the grace given unto me, to every man, not to think among you, or not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." One of the things I always share with people, you want to always stay small in your own eyes. You know, even though people may be exalt you, or they may admonish you and let you know you're doing a great job. I really admire what you're doing. You preached a great message, or that was a great teaching. You know, one of the things I'm always quick to do is to give God the glory. Always give God the glory, because God don't share his glory with anyone. And so it's so very important to recognize, like Paul says, I am what I am through the grace of God, and that grace I don't take in vain. And so when you acknowledge God, your people, they might see God in you, but you know, all that I am is because of Jesus Christ. You know, so you acknowledge him and put him, give him his just due. Amen. Proverbs 29 and 23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold him, uphold the humble spirit." Let me read that again. "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So a person who is humble in spirit, they're walking in honor, and a person who's walking in pride shall be brought low. All right. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you some definitions. One of the definitions I want to get, this is also an attribute of pride. Arrogance is an attribute of pride. Arrogance is a feeling or an impression of superiority, manifested in an overbearing manner or pretentious claim. It is an attitude or feeling superior or scorning others because of their intellectual level or lack of aptitude or ability. A person who's arrogant, belittle somebody because of their skin color, their race, their nationality, the country they're from, and other excuses that might exalt or give them an edge over someone else. Okay, that's arrogance. All right, haughtiness or haughty spirit, having or showing an insulting attitude towards people, putting people down. A person with a haughty spirit, the only way that they can look good is to put somebody down, because they think that they are better, smarter, and more important than other people. These who are blasphemingly and daintily proud-minded, they're very haughty. Okay, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness all run together. I've given you a definition of pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. God resists arrogant and prideful people. He rejects them because he detests the sin of arrogance. Pride and arrogance are, in essence, the same in demonic nature, because people with these attitudes or attributes are denying and disobeying the legitimate authority established by God. They do not believe in or submit to divine order. They do not fear God. A person who walks in pride have definite authority issues, because they don't want to submit to authority. And if you don't submit to authority, you're not really in the fear of the Lord. Because a person who's walking in the fear of the Lord, they're going to fear or reverence delegated authority. Amen. All right. Proverbs 18:3 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance." There you go. Those three there. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth. He says, "I hate." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's Proverbs 1:7. But when you walk in pride, you will block yourself from receiving revelation knowledge because of no reverence of God or no fear of God. When there's no fear, you have no respect and no honor. One of the things, even with children, is so very important. The Bible says to train up a child when they are young. And so when they begin to exhibit certain behaviors, it's so very important to correct them and instill fear, godly fear. You know, the Bible says not to spare the rod. And that's a reason for that, because you're actually exhibiting or giving them what they need so that they can have a reverential fear and a respect and an honor for those in authority. I remember my grandmother, if I said something out of turn, if two adults were speaking and I just blatantly interrupted the conversation, she would stop me and she said, she would call my name and says, "Adults are talking. It's not your place to come in here and interrupt us. If you want to ask a question, you first say, 'Excuse me.' And then once we acknowledge you, then you say what you're going to say, but you just don't come in the room and interrupt us." And my dad always taught me, when I address a man, I always address him as sir. You know, I might have not met you, never know your background, but I'm going to honor you until, you know, there's a reason for me not to. But I will say, "Yes, sir. You know, how you doing, sir?" You know, these are just proper protocols in the culture of honor. Amen. All right. And one of the things I stated earlier, and I'm going to state it again, you know, it's so very important that, we always stay small in our own eyes. Always walk in Christ-like humility, not weakness, but meekness. A lot of people think humility means weakness, that you're weak and you're not strong. But Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. But Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses went up to Mount Sinai, got the Ten Commandments, got instructions from God. Moses went before Pharaoh and commanded Pharaoh to let God's people go. But yet he was the most humble man, the Bible says, on the face of the earth. Why is this? Because Moses knew how to yield to God. He yielded to God. And you see, when you yield to God, you give God the right of way. You're honoring him. And just by obeying God's voice, obeying your man of God's voice, you're yielding to them. And by doing that, God now is able to exalt you because you're walking in a position of honor by honoring those who God has honored and put in authority. Amen. All right. Let's look at a few more things what the Bible says about pride. Proverbs 21 and verse 4 says, "A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Proverbs 16 and 5, "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will be unpunished." The consequences, there are consequences when you walk in pride. You know, he said, though they might try to join forces with you, he said, they're not going to go unpunished. You know, the Bible says that the curse causeless shall not come. There's always a reason why the curse comes. All right, let me move on. This is something that you're definitely going to need to know. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan is the root of all sin. I'm going to read that again. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of pride, or the spirit of Leviathan, I should say. The spirit of Leviathan is the root of all sin. And we're going to prove that now by sharing some scriptures with you about when Lucifer was the archangel, and he was in heaven, and he was there, you know, chief with God, or you know, one of the chief archangels. But he was lifted up in pride, and the pride brought him low. It was pride that caused Satan to rebel against God in heaven. For his prideful act of rebellion, he was cast out of heaven. Ezekiel 28 and 17 says, this talking about Lucifer or Satan, "Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, or your position, your talent, your gifting, your ability. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings. They shall, they that may behold thee." When you walk in pride, you block yourself from receiving the wisdom of God. If Satan wasn't operating in pride, wisdom would have said, "No, you know, God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's sovereign." You know, but Satan wanted to be like God. He wanted to exalt his throne above the stars of God, and by doing so, he was cast out of heaven. Let me read the Amplified Bible of Ezekiel 28 and 17. It says, "Your heart was proud and lifted up because of your beauty. Your corrupt wisdom and the sake of your splendor, I cast thee to the ground. I lay you before kings that they might gaze at you." The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Satan sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up with pride against God. Read that again. It's very important. The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned by trying to exalt himself above God and allowing his heart to be lifted up with pride against God. A prideful and an arrogant person is weak and easily falls into temptation. Each time a person allows pride and arrogance to creep in, he reminds God of the rebellion caused by Satan in heaven. Pride, if not checked, is very contagious. Tell you the reason why. One third of the angelic host fell with Satan because of his pride. He was able to influence one third of the angels in heaven. So it's a contagious. Corinth, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, he stood up against Moses, and he had a lot of people following him because he questions Moses' authority. And because of that, Corinth and his company were swallowed into the earth because they came against God's man, or God's life source. Moses was actually God's apostolic source, because he led the people. He heard directly from God, and by hearing from God, he commanded the people what to do. He led them out of Egypt and led them towards the promised land. Luke 10 and 18 says, and he said, this is what Jesus said, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. So pride will cause you to fall. After Satan was cast out of heaven, he used his deceptiveness and the spirit of pride on Adam and Eve, which led to mankind's downfall in Genesis chapter 3. The fallen angel Satan, who fell from heaven, as described in Luke 10 and 18, Satan is still craving to be like God. He wanted to be like God. As a result of his fall, Satan beguiled Eve, deceived Adam through trickery to turn over their authority to him. Because of this act, the whole nation, the whole human mankind basically fell into sin, or fell into the deceptiveness of pride. The temptation to know good and evil, to eat of that forbidden tree, was motivated by pride that took its root in Adam and Eve by trickery of Satan. He deceived them into wanting to be something they already were, to be like God. God created them in his own image, created Adam and Eve. He said, you know, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil, you know, but they were already like God. That's a deception. And he fed them lies, but by doing so, they fell because, you know, they didn't do what God told them to do. You know, getting back to humility again. Humility is doing what spiritual authority tells you to do. One of the things I've learned to do in ministry is follow orders. You know, if I've been instructed to do something, I'm going to do exactly what I'm instructed. You know, I don't take the lead at doing something unless I'm given the liberty to do that. You know, and that's so very important. Let's move on. We are descendants from Adam, and therefore are easily affected by pride. This is why Leviathan is so strong, powerful, and deeply rooted in the unrenewed mind. The fascination with the forbidden and with the unknown feeds Leviathan, who curls himself tightly in our unrenewed minds. And that's why it's so important to have your mind renewed with the Word of God, knowing who you are, knowing it's our... We are to walk in godly humility, godly honor, you know, walk in spiritual authority. When you know these things, when a situation comes up where pride could raise its ugly neck, you cast it down with the Word, and you begin to say what the Word says, and begin to tell pride, you're not gonna rule me. I'm yielding unto God. And that's one of the reasons why when I open up in prayer, I said, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face, because I recognize I'm dependent totally upon you. You know, I'm not a great orator, but one of the things I've learned to do over the years is learn how to yield to God. And when you yield to God, you're giving God the right of way, you know, and by yielding, you're walking in godly humility. And when you walk in humility, you also walk in honor, because you're doing what was expected of you from spiritual authority. And you can't help but be blessed. The spirit of pride is completely opposite to the spirit of honor. Pride shows no respect for authority and is selfish and arrogant. Believes in individualism, believes in self-dependency. Whereas honor shows respect, submission, loyalty. Honor walks in one accord and love towards others. Honor is dependent in God with respect, submits to and walks in godly divine order of authority. That's honor, you know, and that's what the whole purpose of this class is, to teach students the importance of walking in godly honor. A person operating in pride may act like they're submitting outwardly, but inwardly their hearts or their souls are far from submission. They may be standing up on the outside, but sitting down against you on the inside. You know, so you have to be very mindful, especially if you're a spiritual leader. Know the people who are among you, and make sure that there's not pride or arrogance or haughtiness that's deep seated on the inside of them, because it's contagious, and it'll cause some members even to become shipwrecked. Okay, I'm gonna read a little bit from Isaiah chapter 14. Verses 12 through 14. It's talking about Satan. And I kind of shared this, but I want to make some illustrations of the five eyes of how Satan kept talking about himself and what he wanted to do. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. He says, "How art thou, Lucifer? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, that didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart," or your soul, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Again, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the nations?" But what I want to point out is everything he was wanting to do was about himself. Independent spirit, a person who walks in that spirit of pride, well, it's all about them. "I will sit on the congregation of the mount of the congregation. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. You know, I will be like the Most High. You know, I. Proverbs 16, verses 5 through 6. "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though," and I read it earlier, "though joined in hand, they shall not be unpunished." Those who walk in pride have no fear of God or the Lord. They have no reverence of God. They're very disrespectful. Pride is full of selfishness and self agitation is self-centeredness, overconfident of self, one's overconfident in one's ability. A prideful person has an independent spirit, but a person that's walking in honor, this is what a person that walks in honor would say: "In him," or "in whom," in Christ, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me." You know, "In him I live and move and I have my being." You know, Christ, he's the strength of my life. You know, these are attributes of somebody that's walking in humility, godly humility, and they're walking in a spirit of honor because they're giving honor to whom honor is due. And that's so very important that we do that. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, he says, yet not I, but Christ that liveth through me. You know, I've been crucified. I've yielded myself unto God. And the life that I'm living, I'm not living for myself. I'm living it for Christ, you know. And so he's the one that's empowering us. And so walking in honor and godly humility is when you take on Galatians 2:20, that I've been crucified. Nevertheless, I'm living, but it's Christ that's living through me. When got a few minutes left, but I want to share this. When I first got asked several years ago to teach in the school of ministry, my first thoughts was, Lord, I can't do this, you know. But then as I pondered on it, the Holy Spirit said, well, if your man of God asks you to do this, you know, God's going to have to give you the grace and the mercy to do it. And so I just had to step out in faith and not thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think, but to think soberly, you know, as God has given me the measure of faith, you know, and walk in humility. And that's so very important. Okay, let me share this. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve properly and wholeheartedly, or acknowledge and submit to spiritual authority, divine order, or the spirit of covenant, or our spiritual covenant. Excuse me. I'm going to read that again. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve properly and wholeheartedly. So they don't have their whole heart in it. They're not putting themselves into it, or acknowledge and submit to spiritual authority. Like I said, they might be standing on the outside, but on the inside, they're sitting down. They're against you. Okay? They operate as long rangers or renegades. They may recognize spiritual authority, but they will not submit to it. Pride binds people spiritually. It makes them unable to receive and to walk in covenant, a covenant that they have through the blood of Jesus. They will not have spiritual discernment. The spirit of Leviathan wraps and chokes them spiritually. They are unable to receive revelation knowledge, deliverance, prosperity, and peace because the spirit of pride is binding them, is interwoven with them. Job 41 and 24 says, this is talking about the spirit of Leviathan. His heart is as firm as a stone, as hard as a piece of nether millstone. His heart is as hard as a rock, solid, unyielding, as nethered millstone, laying underneath the earth. In other words, it's not gonna move. It's not gonna budge. Leviathan's heart is said to be hard as a stone, hard as a piece of nethered millstone, hard as a hard-heartedness. Is tied with Leviathan. There is no compassion. There's no grace. There's no mercy. His neck remained strong. You've heard the expression stiff-necked people. Somebody who's just, they're not going to budge. Well, that's what pride will do. It'll cause a person, even though you know you're wrong, you don't want to admit it, because pride won't let you admit it. Even though you want to get back in the good graces, you know you got out of turn, you left, and you shouldn't have left. Pride won't let you come back. Listen to this. The major problem among Christian leaders and believers today is the lack of submission and service. They seek reasons not to serve or to constantly justify their lack of submission. especially if they have to serve under someone whom they consider less knowledgeable or who has served less time in ministry than them. Pride to give you that type of attitude, you know. So as a Christian leader, always walk in pride. I mean, always walk in humbleness, always walk in honor, always walk in humility. And we'll continue next week.